had led his life according to principles that demanded a different kind of toughness, principles that promised a higher form of power. She encourages Obama to follow his father's examples because it was in the genes. Obama takes this as a message to embrace black people generally. He says Stanley And would bring home books on the civil rights movement, the recordings of Mahalia Jackson, the speeches of Martin Luther King. Every black man was Thurgood Marshall or Sidney Poitier. Every black woman, civil rights pioneer Fannie Lou Hamer or Lena Horne. She told Obama making sure he got the message that to be black was to be the beneficiary of a great inheritance, a special destiny, glorious burdens that only we were strong enough to bear. For Obama, the search for identity is resolved in the inheritance of race. That is the key we've been looking for, to explain why a book that explains Obama's dreams from his father is subtitled Race and Inheritance. So if we reread the dedication from 1 Chronicles, "For we are strangers before them and sojourners, as were all our fathers," the message appears to be Obama does not need to be a stranger or a sojourner anymore, so long as he resolves the journey for identity by embracing his inheritance from his race. Moreover, the race Obama embraces is not that of his mother, although he does have that choice. Nor is the race he embraces even precisely that of his Kenyan father. Even though Obama is not descended from a slave, the identity he seeks is African American. Obama embraces an African Americanism that is born out of slavery and embraces it as the son of a free Kenyan educated at Harvard. Obama's second chapter about his experience in Indonesia ends with a bizarre but important story. He tells us that in the embassy library he came across a picture in Life magazine of the black man who tried to peel off his skin. Evidently, the man had tried to lighten his skin with a chemical process, and the result was a disaster. The experience caused Obama to feel the moment of self-doubt he suggests comes to every black child in America undergoing similar moments of revelation. Obama tells us that seeing that article was violent for me, an ambush attack. The photograph told him there was a hidden enemy out there, one that could reach me without anyone's knowledge, not even my own. He began noticing things on the imported shows playing on Indonesian television. Cosby never got the girl on I Spy. That the black man on Mission Impossible spent all his time underground. He noticed there was nobody like him, meaning no one black, in the Sears Roebuck Christmas catalog, and that Santa Claus was a white man. What was Obama's moment of self-doubt? "I trusted my mother's love, but I now face the prospect that her account of the world and my father's place in it was somehow incomplete." The only problem with the story is that it's all made up. When the Chicago Tribune told Obama that Life magazine historians could find no such story, Obama suggested it might have been ebony, or it might have been who knows what it was. Yet the Chicago Tribune contacted the magazine, and Ebony's archivists could find no such article either. In an A&E television biography, Obama provides yet a third explanation of where he saw this story. "I remember seeing this magazine that talked about blacks who would use skin-bleaching agents to make themselves lighter. That's when I first realized I was African-American. And also that there were all sorts of implications to race. And there were power relationships in race. I couldn't articulate all that at the time, but I remember feeling shocked by that." What exactly did Barack see? An article? Or advertisements? or does it make a difference? Academic researchers have documented that powders and skin bleaches were being offered in the African-American press as far back as the 1850s. Obama didn't have to get the idea from an article he saw in Life. At any rate, the memory of the event, non-event, is so firmly planted in Obama's mind that it seems to have become an emotional truth for him, as equally powerful psychologically as a real experience. Has Obama lost the ability to tell the difference between something that actually happened and something he invented? As we have seen, Obama also had the ability to project John Kennedy and the civil rights movement into situations that never happened, just so he could claim his birth had something to do with Camelot and Martin Luther King. How much more imagining, hypothetical lying, or just plain lying is Obama capable of doing? For those making a decision to vote or not vote for Obama to be president of the United States, the most powerful office in the world, these are questions that one cannot avoid asking. Hopefully, they can be answered. As much as I have tried, ferreting out the factual record in Dreams for My Father remains a problematic investigative exercise, which evidently is what Obama intended. This psychological autobiography, as written, leaves Obama much room in which to hide. The reality Obama was facing was abandonment by his father, followed by his mother leaving him. His race was conflicted, being half African from his father and half Caucasian from his mother. We will soon find out that Obama comes out embracing his African side as he develops an African-American identity. On this journey to self-discovery, Obama also gives us sufficient evidence to conclude he turns out radical, internalizing a black rage that can only be explained from the ideological far left that Obama tells us he intellectually embraced in his formative years.